Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church.
And I'm Doug McBurney, and I'm with him.
Doug, it's so great to have you in studio. There's a lot of news.
Bob, you're a port of sanity in a storm of craziness and insanity.
There is a lot of that out there.
Right here, Bob Enyart Live is your safe port in the storm.
Yeah, yeah, and we have a great time on the air every weekday afternoon at 3 and on the internet. Around the clock, all over the world, KGov, KGOV.com.
That's right. And you're going to be, from what I hear, on Fox 31 here in Denver.
That's right. Denver's Fox affiliate. This Friday morning, Doug, Shalt Turner, just to talk about the news. And I've done that show often. This will be a longer segment, though.
Oh, really? Fox 31 Friday morning, drive time or before work time?
Like everybody's 9:40-ish. Getting up, 9:40-ish.
Cool.
So it should be interesting. We'll talk about the news of the day.
Has Shaw given you some idea what she's? I mean, is she going to be asking you about what is she going to be asking you about?
Well, maybe the new nominee.
Oh, the new nominee
to the U.S. Supreme Court.
That's big news.
Maybe California's homosexual marriage decision.
Now, isn't that bizarre that the same?
Well, you know, even a broken clock is right twice a day, and in this case, they happen to be. Right and wrong at the same time in the same ruling. I mean, they're letting stand the perversion of these existing homosexual marriages in California. And if you hate your neighbor, you'll support his homosexual activity.
Yeah, his destructive lifestyle.
Yeah, if you hate him, you'll be apathetic or you'll support him.
Yeah.
If you hate him. If you don't care if he destroys himself and those around him.
So they said all the deviant weddings that have been blessed by the state heretofore can stand, but right. No, this is where we draw the line.
Well, not that they would draw, but yeah, they couldn't find an excuse. So, yeah.
So, Bob, is this a tremendous victory for the forces of traditional marriage?
Well,
and the family?
It's much better to have the state prohibit homosexual marriage.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but it's not as though, see, the system works, because the system doesn't work. The system is a colossal failure. Even a broken clock is right twice a day. This is not a victory in the sense of the system works. This is a random event in a mindless system.
Well, this...
it's no longer a justice system. Now it's just a system.
Yeah, now this struck me as... just a bump in the road in California along the path to the eventual goal of homosexual marriage being legalized, even promoted, celebrated. They'll have gay marriage
one day. It might be obligatory.
Oh, no.
Just like in China, they force you to have an abortion.
Yeah.
One day in Massachusetts, you might have to marry
That's
homosexual.
Right. Yeah, if you want to move to California, you have to prove
because,
that you are currently married.
If only 6% of the public is homosexual, it's not fair to homosexuals.
That's true.
To have no one to marry.
No.
Forget about China killing tens of millions of young girls so that there are men there who can't find wives. Forget about that.
Hey, the Chinese are upset, by the way, Bob. Briefly. Yeah. Now, this is brief because we've got a lot to go through. The Chinese apparently are complaining about the fact that we're printing money to buy our own treasury debt.
Yeah, the Federal Reserve. And we are in a crisis. And, you know, that C-SPAN reporter, at least he asked the question. He got the vocabulary wrong.
Yeah.
But he said to Obama, he said, you know the numbers. We got a $1.7 trillion deficit and $11 trillion debt.
Uh-huh.
He switched the deficit and debt terms.
But okay.
He said, and Obama made that now famous response that we're out of money.
We're out of money now, he said.
We're out of money.
Well, the Chinese.
I mean, what's a liberal to do?
The Chinese are getting a little bit upset.
If we just keep printing money, we're going to be robbing everyone who holds dollars.
And the Chinese hold a significant amount, from what I understand.
Yeah.
Now, how mad do you think they would get?
It used to be China funding Bill Clinton's campaign. That was secret.
Yeah, I remember
Now,
that.
Today, China's funding the whole administration.
They're funding the stimulus package, for crying out loud.
Right.
And you don't think they'd get so upset that they would let Kim Jong-il, like, lob a missile out into the Pacific or something, do you?
Yeah, just sort of overlook it.
I don't know. I mean, it's...
He's a lunatic.
These guys are...
He said the Korean War's back on.
Yeah.
Where's Alan Alda when you need him?
He's renouncing the...
What are we going to... I mean, you know...
Have you seen the guy lately? They showed some pictures of him. He looks really
rough. He's the walking dead.
The guy is having a rough time. He's on his way out the door.
Yeah.
And so
a lunatic with a nuke.
A lunatic with a, yeah, apparently.
Yeah. It reminds me of a libertarian I debated once in Denver running for office.
Yeah.
But yeah, we don't have to get into
that. All right. Let's get back to Miss. Now you're on Fox 31. You may be asked about the new Supreme Court nominee who, by the way, from what I understand, is female.
Yeah.
And Latina.
That's true.
A magical combination in the liberal world.
Yeah, and Obama really blew it. Well, first of all, nobody is even talking about whether she is pro-abortion.
What's the deal with that? I remember within 30 seconds of John Roberts' name coming up, that headlines all over. Where does he stand on Roe v. Wade? Reporters wanted to ask him. He had to dodge the question. It was the big issue for weeks.
Everybody knows she's a child killer. Remember DNC destroys unborn children, the world's largest protest sign?
Yeah.
During the DNC in Denver, the sign on the mountain.
Uh-huh.
Well, everybody knows they're child killers, and she will do all she can to continue the destruction of children in the womb who are sucking their thumb and playing with their toes. So there's just
no question.
It's no question.
But still, now, the news media, I feel like, are taking advantage of the fact that everyone knows she's a child killer,
and they just want
to avoid the issue because they hate this issue coming up. The social tension that's caused by even the debate of this issue.
That's a great point. And so Alan Keyes really did a tremendous job, Leslie Hanks and others at Notre Dame, forcing that issue.
Yeah.
That was great what they did there. You know, Obama missed a great opportunity here. In this appointment.
Now, how could that be? He's got the dream candidate.
He could have appointed a white, first of all.
Uh-huh.
A white. Because everybody knows that the life experience of a white person, I mean a Caucasian.
Okay.
Is so much more rich and so much deeper. And like a white male, think of the judgments a white male would make.
Yeah.
And you just know that the rulings from a white male would be so much more valid.
Okay, Bob, please.
What?
Could you just stop right there?
What?
You're going to get us in trouble, okay? You can't say
I don't
something
know.
Like
I don't
that,
know what you mean. A white male, his life experience is just vindicated.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I just want to separate and Bob, please.
What?
I want to disassociate myself with the remarks that you're making.
What are you talking about, Doug? We've been friends for how many years have we been friends? I'm
Bob.
Just saying the obvious that a white male's rulings would be more valid than a Hispanic. I mean, come on, a person of color could not have as valid a decision-making process, could not come to as reasonable and well-thought-out judgments as a white person.
Bob,
and so Obama blew it.
I wasn't aware of this side of you, Bob. I don't know that I want to elaborate. I'd rather leave it at that. It strikes me as racist, okay, frankly.
I want to rebuke you
right now on the air. And that a statement like that is something that I won't tolerate to go out over the airwaves. It's a blatantly racist comment, Bob.
All right. Well, how about this? How about we?
I'm shocked.
I will. Your objection is noted.
Okay.
All right. And I'll take it under advisement.
Okay. And we'll move on.
You're saying it's racist.
That's a racist thing
you're
to say.
That
a white
my
guy.
Argument. Yeah.
A white guy has a more valid worldview and ability to make more valid decisions than a Hispanic female based on your social experience and upbringing. And
you're saying that's racist.
That's
you're saying on the
racist.
Face of it, it's racist.
On the face of it, it's
you're saying I would have to be a racist if I actually held that view.
You would, and I've never considered you to be a racist. I'm frankly shocked that you would say something like that on the airwaves.
You know, of all the things I've been accused of over the years, almost never has anyone, you know, people take shots at Bob and Your Live in the media. Almost never have they said, that guy's a racist.
Well, let's not give an opening today, Bob, by saying something so outrageously, obviously racist right over the airwaves.
You ever heard of Reggie?
Reggie?
The former Broncos player who's now an anchor and a columnist.
Reggie Rivers.
Reggie Rivers.
Yeah, of course. Does he still have a job on TV?
He just came to mind.
Okay.
I don't know why.
Yeah, Reggie. I remember Reggie. And he may or may not be of African-American descent. I don't see things like that. So I'm blind to that type of thing.
Oh, I think he is.
Okay. All right. I'll take your word for it.
Is he a skinhead?
Well, if you have a literal meaning of that term, yes. He has no hair on his head.
I don't know why he came to mind.
Well, that's weird.
Yeah. We'll have to think about these things. Okay, I'll take your concern under advisement.
Okay, and we may have to arrange for some sort of apology on the air and on the internet over the next few days as Bob reconsiders.
All right.
That obviously racist statement.
All right.
That you just made.
Okay, could we go to...
Now, wait. Sonia Sotomayor.
Yeah.
She says she's Latina, but she spells her name with an I instead of a J. What's up with that?
She's allegedly Latina.
Well, that's not very Latina. Because the J, that's a very Latina thing, is to, you know, I guess maybe her parents just shackled her with that that white spelling of the name, you know, the Anglo-centric spelling.
Sometimes a person's name is a form of protest by their parents.
Yeah, I guess so.
Right? Isn't that true? Don't you know any rock and roll drug addicts who name their kids the most bizarre things?
Yeah, like Frank Zappa. Moon Unit was his daughter. Moon Unit Zappa.
Moon Unit. I remember in Cuba, they were naming their kids out of car parts. Like carburetor and piston, because they couldn't get car parts, and they were objecting. It was a form of protest against Castro. And so the communists there outlawed naming your kids after car parts.
That's just... I just Solenoid remember that Herrera.
From my youth.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
So can we get to a real story?
So you're going to discuss Prop 8 with Shaul on Fox 31.
Shaul Turner.
By the way, that's the morning show that we always watch.
Good Morning, Colorado.
We always watch. Prop 8, you may or may not discuss Sonia Sotomayor. And if you're going to go down the path that you just went down, I would suggest that you do not discuss Sonia Sotomayor on Fox 31. I mean, just please.
I don't understand, but okay.
All right. Okay, so... Now, on to some more shocking news, Bob.
Yeah.
I want to get to this. Have you heard about this phone call that was recorded between Rod Blagojevich's alleged brother?
It's hysterical. His alleged brother, his campaign finance director.
Rod's brother, Rob.
Rob and Rod.
Yeah. So there's just one letter flipped around, and otherwise it's the same guy.
Rob Peter to pay Rod.
Yeah,
Rob Peter
like
to
that.
Pay Rod.
Well, this phone call, now this is
between
shocking.
Between a U.S. senator
and
the campaign fundraiser.
Well, this I believe this guy, this Burris, James Burris, was a sitting Illinois senator at the time, but he had some hopes of becoming a United States senator.
He wanted Barack Obama's Senate seat.
Apparently.
And
that's alleged.
He knew. Well, it's not alleged
unless
anymore.
Unless you've listened to this phone call.
The FBI tape. You could hear it. You could read the transcript. And he says, look, you guys know I want the Senate seat. So the question is, what do I got to do?
Okay.
And Blagojevich's brother says, hey, you guys can just write checks. You and your law firm partner. And they start naming people. Here are the people who can write checks. And
now, the fact that a sitting governor of the great state of Illinois would stoop to such a level is shocking.
It's just hysterical.
In the greatest system in the world, the greatest political system in the world.
Roland Burris's defense attorney says, come on, did you read the transcript? Can't you see how this vindicates my client?
I mean, you got to have some nerve to be a defense attorney. It's just unbelievable. Do we have tape of the actual phone call?
What do you call 200 defense attorneys at the bottom of the sea? A good start.
Okay.
I mean, this is just so despicable that they're talking about bribing the governor to appoint somebody to the U.S. Senate based on how much money they're going to give. They don't talk around it. They're hesitant. Because in the back of their minds, they think, you know, the FBI might be recording this. But they talk right through it. and Burris's, the U.S. Senator, Roland Burris, his defense attorney says, hey, my client was vindicated. He never wrote a check.
Now he never wrote a check?
He never wrote a check. He did not follow up his promise to write a check and get a check sent in.
Mm-hmm.
He never followed up on it.
Oh, that's... Well, that's not the way we do business in Chicago. You can get yourself hurt that way.
Well, that's true. But remember, and the defense attorney says, look, the senator never wrote a check. He never gave a check.
Okay.
But Burris says in here that he'll get him a check by December 15th.
Okay.
When was Blago arrested?
Blago was arrested December 9th.
December 9th. So he had a full week to reconsider. And in this conversation, he says, you know, if I write you guys a check, everybody's going to know that he's selling the Senate seat and I'm buying a Senate seat.
Yeah.
So this is a problem. And Blagojevich's brother, campaign finance manager, says, hey, just deal with it. That's your problem. We don't care. This is Chicago. Why would we care?
Now, Mr. Burris was indeed appointed to said Senate seat.
Yeah.
On December 30th.
Yeah. And you know why he didn't write the check? You can't give an inmate a check.
Burris was in jail.
You can't deliver a check to that. You could put money in his account so he could buy ramen noodles.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But you can't give a $130,000 check to an inmate.
No.
It'd have to go through government hands.
Yeah, that would be a lot of cartons of cigarettes to try to smuggle into the jail there.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we could give our rendition of the phone call.
All right.
Because we have the actual transcript.
Who will play Blagojevich?
Well, now, Burris.
The governor's brother.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, Burris is of African American descent.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure that you could do Burris.
Well, I'm Italian.
But you just made such a blatantly racist statement earlier in the broadcast.
I don't even know what you're referring to. Italian is Mediterranean.
Okay.
I like Southern Italian food more than Northern Italian.
Okay. Well,
you know how close that is to Africa?
Yeah, yeah.
So anyway, let me
where I grew up in South Buffalo.
Let me do Burris.
Italians were considered, you know, you were practically African.
We got the script from the FBI.
Yeah.
For today's show.
You did. Wow.
So let's just dive right in. You're the governor's brother.
Okay.
Burr speaking.
Hello, Roland. It's Rob Blagojevich again. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
Good,
what's going on? I know you're calling. Telling me that you're going to make me king of the world. And,
Yeah, well, let me tell you one thing. I'll just shoot straight with you, all right? I'll just shoot straight with you.
Okay.
And manage your expectations.
Okay, Rob, because I've been trying to figure out what I can do.
Well, I'm just following up.
Yeah, yeah.
We've had a number of conversations about, you know, anything you might be able to do. You know, you and Fred. Whatever you might be able to do before the end of the year for my good buddy, my brother Rod. Again, we're trying to get as much as we can in his war chest, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, 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 right. And now, how do you answer me this question? Because I'm very much interested in trying to replace Obama, okay?
So you just let me tell you, Roland.
Yeah.
You and 1 million other people.
Well, that's right. That's right.
Yeah. Of every race, color, creed, and faith. It's amazing.
So if I put on a fundraiser now.
Uh-huh.
Now, and I, you know, I think it would have. This is what I've been talking to Fred about. It has so many negative connotations that Burris is trying to buy an appointment from the governor for the Senate seat. I mean, and I'm a high profile person.
Yep.
You know, and so I'm now because I've been just holding off calling you.
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out how. And since you called me, I will be honest with you.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to figure out how to deal with this and still be in the consideration for the appointment.
Oh, I hear you.
And if I do that, I guarantee you that will get out. And people said, oh, Burris is doing a fundraiser. And then Rod and I both gonna catch it. Bleep.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if I do get appointed, that means I bought it.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't get appointed, then my people, whom I'm trying to raise money from, are going to look at me. Yeah, what's that all about, Roland? I mean, so Rob, I'm in a dilemma right now, wanting to help the governor.
Yeah,
but we got to break character here, Doug.
Okay.
He's saying, look, if I do give you the money, if I go to my friends and raise the money and I give it to you and I don't get appointed, my friends are going to be ticked off. They're going to be thinking, what do you think we gave you the money for?
What was all that money
it's
for?
It's so open and public in Chicago that they're just buying and selling a Senate seat.
Yeah.
They're liberals, right?
Shocking stuff.
What's a liberal to do?
Liberal Democrats.
I've been with him on all the issues, and I'm now trying to figure out the best thing to do.
Yeah.
I know I could give him a check.
Yeah.
Myself.
Yeah.
And my law partner, we were going to try to do something at the law firm. I might be able to do this in the name of Tim Wright.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because Tim is not looking for an appointment, okay?
Okay.
So if I can talk to my law partner, who's been, you know, in New York trying to drum up business.
Oh, good for you. good for you.
Yeah, because, you know, he's trying to get a part of that federal bailout stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay, because, you know, we've got a financial law firm here, so they're trying to get involved in that bailout thing.
Yeah.
So he'll be back in a couple days.
Mm-hmm.
But Fred and I, look, I said I got to call you. I have.
Okay.
Because I didn't know how to deal with the situation.
Well, you know, I'll stand by. I mean, if you want to write a check and have Fred write a check or have someone else write a check, that'd be great. I mean, you know, I understand your concerns, Roland.
And bleep, number one, I want to help Rod. Yeah, right. Number two, I also want to, you know, hope I get a consideration to get that appointment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And however that goes, it would dictate, how the press treats it.
Understand.
Because, man, I will be, you know, we would both be profiled.
Yeah, yeah.
And we don't need that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, hey, I appreciate your candor.
Yes.
I can't help you with your dilemma other than I want to encourage you to...
Sure.
To do what you think is... fair from your standpoint.
Okay.
And Fred's standpoint, and you know, I'll work with you. And if I can think of a place where we can tie you guys in.
Oh, yeah. Please consider that and give me a call back to.
Okay.
To let me know.
Okay.
Because I'm working on it. I mean, I'm trying to figure out what the best way to do where it won't create any conflict for either one of us.
Okay, Roland. Now how's your business, by the way?
Oh, and we can skip all this part. He says his business stinks. I don't know how he thinks that's going to help him. He says he has no more clients.
Well, Rob wants to make sure he actually has the money.
And he doesn't. He has no clients. He's got to go to other people and say, the governor's shaking me down. I need some money. And if you give me money when I'm a senator, I'll bring home the bacon. Believe me. The pork will flow. The pork bellies in Chicago.
Not only did Blagojevich entertain the idea of having Burris write a check, but he entertained the idea of having Burris bring other people into the mix.
Oh, absolutely.
Getting some of the dirt on them.
So let's finish at the end of the call.
Yeah.
On the ninth page of the FBI transcript.
The ninth page?
Ninth page. Page 20 of 55.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Depending on where you're looking.
Yeah, yeah.
Ninth page of the transcript. Listen. Well, I'll wait for you to find it.
My transcript.
Listen. No, that's my line. I'm Burris. Right. I'm this U.S. Senator on the take.
All right, the reverse
of the take. Listen.
Please, keep me in mind. And, you know, if you guys can just write checks, that'd be fine. If we can't find a way for you to tie in.
Okay. I will personally do something, okay?
Okay, Roland. That's probably enough of that transcript for crying out loud.
Yeah, for crying out loud.
I mean, you get these transcripts.
Did we get the part where he said he'll get it in by December 15th?
I don't think I saw that.
Oh, this is it. This is it, right here. This is the very end.
Okay.
And it'll be done before the 15th of December.
Okay.
All right. Okay.
Hey, you're a good friend. I'll pass on your message.
Please do. And,
okay.
And tell Rod to keep me in mind for that seat, would you?
Yeah, I'll let him know.
Okay.
Bye, Roland.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. So this is the racism of low expectations. They call it a double standard.
Uh-huh.
And, Doug, I'm personally glad there's a double standard if the alternative was being held to the same low standard as liberals.
Yeah.
Because liberals could be racist.
They
liberals
are.
Bribe. Liberals sexually assault their interns and their subordinates.
That's their standard.
Liberals have that standard, and that is a lousy standard.
Yeah.
As a Christian, I want to be held to a higher standard.
Amen.
So I'd rather there be a double standard with Christians being held to that higher standard than if we were all held to the same filth and corruption of the left in America.
Yeah, you know, that's one of the things that annoys me about mainstream conservative talk radio.
Yeah.
Is that one of the main talking points of many of our favorite conservative hosts.
Yeah.
Is, well, what if a Republican had done that?
What if a Republican had done that?
Can you imagine the
outrage? And for one thing, Republicans always do these things.
Well, yeah,
you know, it just takes a while to find out. Like the sexual harassment, you know, homosexual seduction of a page.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
In Congress, sexual, whatever, you know, just lewd, filthy, cheating on your wife who's dying of cancer in the hospital and having an affair. Mm-hmm. I mean, a conservative wouldn't do that, would he?
Well,
I mean, other than Newt Gingrich.
Yeah, well, I didn't want to put too fine a point on it.
Conservatives do so much of what the liberals do, maybe in smaller numbers, maybe.
Yeah. And they do get fired for it more often.
Yes, which is a good thing.
Which is a good thing.
I prefer that double standard.
Yeah, I would prefer that that people who call themselves conservatives are held to a higher standard.
Yeah, like if the death penalty would only apply to one family in the country, mm-hmm. I would want it to apply to my family.
Wow.
Because that's God's standard, and in his wisdom and mercy, it's a deterrent.
Mm.
So, you know, liberals say, oh, look, the death penalty was disproportionately applied to blacks.
Right.
And probably because the inmate population was disproportionately black.
Right.
And the murder in the inner city, the murder rate was astronomical. And blacks were being killed by blacks just as whites were being killed by whites.
Mm.
And so it's hateful and apathy and ignorance to say we don't want the death penalty applied to blacks.
Yeah.
Or we don't want the death penalty applied to whatever group.
Mm-hmm. It demeans that group.
It demeans
it
that, group.
That group.
The racism of low expectations.
All right. Now, speaking of racism, Bob, I want you to look at – I'm going to print out a transcript of this broadcast.
Uh-oh.
And I just want you to reconsider the statements you made earlier in the broadcast because they – not only might they be considered racist by some people, I mean, they were
just outright. I made no such statement.
It was outright.
I didn't even say
anything. Flagrant racism.
I didn't even say anything.
We'll address this later.
That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. I said nothing. Nothing. Friday and Saturday night, Channel 53, Bob and Yurt Live, KGov.com,
at midnight,
KGov.com, and Maranatha, what a great school.